The Klingon Assault Group is a body of Star Trek fans that has come together to enjoy all things Klingon. Why Klingon? I could chalk it up to the determination that is part of the warrior spirit the Klingon race represents. I could say it was to look at reality from a different perspective, how things could have been if everybody tried hard to be their very best to each other, with Klingon honor. It could be the chance to take an existing fictional system and explore new areas about how it was created. How did the language, which we are still building on, come to be? How and why are holidays, not of this planet, celebrated? It could be a chance to envision new foods and drink. It could be a chance to cosplay, not as an individual, but in a group who has common interests together and wants to share them with the public. It could just be the first rule of CAG. Have fun. No matter what your interests are, no matter what you want to learn or be a part of developing, no matter what you do, the most important thing is to be having fun. If a hobby isn't fun, why do it? CAG offers many opportunities to have fun doing interesting things. If you like to cook, we have recipes for you. If you like making interesting drinks, we have recipes for that too. If you like to learn new languages, we have many experienced Klingon speakers within our ranks who love to share their knowledge. We even have members translating great works of fiction back to their original Klingon, and songsmiths turning pop songs into Klingon songs. If you like to learn new cultures, CAG encourages learning about Klingon culture and even developing your own aspects. Like to make costumes? CAG has guides to help you get building. If you like conventions, CAG is there. This is where we started. From showing off our work at fan tables, to running panels about the things we've learned and done, to just being the Klingons at the convention. CAG develops the tools to allow these things to happen. You can be part of that development. Join CAG. It's your duty to serve the Empire. Cup luck.
Today with Jen Bohm, Sutai Tukul, also known as Jen Ucelis, and everyone knows her as the Klingon Pop Warrior. Hey, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, you know, you're kind of a living legend among CAG members.
Kind of?
No.
Oh, yeah.
She is.
You know, I heard about you through another podcast that was from a convention and started looking up your stuff. And I'll tell you what, it really sounds awesome. I really enjoy these translations. I play them for my students at school.
And no way. Amazing.
Yeah. And they just kind of look at me really weird.
You know, that actually means a lot, because I know you are a music teacher and a musician. And so when I decided to make this project and do it, it was really important to me. I was a singer and in covers bands for probably 15 years. I took classical voice lessons through high school. When I decided to go to college, I was torn between doing a vocal performance major or going into theater, and I decided to go into theater and throw all of my energy at acting, And so, but I've always loved to sing. And when I decided to do this, it was really important to me to have really good musicianship behind it. And so I worked with musicians that I had worked with in covers bands for my first EP, and who have their own little like Chicago cred all unto themselves. And on my second EP, when I started working with Joe, what he managed to do production wise just blew my mind. So it was always really important to me, though, to give something that sounded professional, go into professional recording studios, really give it a treatment that would make it listenable. I didn't want it to be unlistenable. So.
Oh, yeah. And it's all really top-notch stuff. It's just translated into Klingon.
Right. Yep. But all the arrangements are our own. When I did it, the idea of it was for the first EP, because I knew I didn't have a lot of money. I was running a Kickstarter, but I was fronting everything myself. And so I kind of like worked out what I could feasibly afford on my own, and then started working on it so that by the time the Kickstarter was over, I could really just blast it out. Like that would give me the capital to buy to pay for the CD printings and all of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And the song rights. Ooh, song rights. So I kept it really, really, really simple. That was the goal. It was just a single acoustic guitar, an acoustic bass, and an Irish war drum, a bodhran. And that was it. And then my vocals. And I didn't do anything flashy with my vocals. It was just no harmonies or anything like that. The bulk of the EP got knocked out in about 6 hours in the studio. We managed to do about a song an hour. And so the first, I think we had about the first 4.5 hours was just doing the recording the musicians, and then the last hour and a half was me tracking my vocals on those songs. So I didn't have a lot of time. I really had to be kind of a one take wonder and really get it right the first time. And so it was really hard. I ended up having to pay for about an hour of extra studio time a little bit later to just fix a couple of things, because I was like, oh man, I really mispronounced that, and I really botched that, and that doesn't sound, you know. So I was able to go back in and re-record a couple of things, but yeah, it was an undertaking with the first one, but it was super simple. And the idea behind it was I wanted to keep it like these are a bunch of warriors who are out on a deep space mission and aren't going to be home anytime soon. So they've got their stuff shoved in their bunk, and one of them's got a guitar shoved under his bunk, and somebody's got a drum, and, you know, and so when they've got some downtime and they're hanging out in the mess hall, they like pull out their instruments and are singing songs of home, and they're singing the popular music of home. So that was kind of the original concept behind it. I also figured that Klingon music, can I swear?
Sure.
All right. I always said that Klingon music theory was probably just hit shit with sticks and see if it works. And so I told my musicians too, I was like, look, you don't need any fancy finger picking. You don't need anything, you know, nothing like that. Just keep the arrangements really simple, and we'll let the vocals do all. Just let the vocals do all the really funny heavy lifting on it. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
So yeah, that was the inspiration behind it.
Yeah, that's a definition I probably won't pass along to my students.
Right.
Okay. So you are a member of the Klingon Assault Group. And you also work with the Klingon Language Institute. How did you get involved with CAG?
So I started in Chicago in 2010. I was part of the original Chicago cast of A Klingon Christmas Carol. And I was really blown away at that point. I was not a big Star Trek fan, which nobody now, a decade later, could even believes that I was. I've only been a Star Trek fan for maybe like a decade, if that. And I was an actor who loved weird theater, and I'm like, this sounds amazing and like a ton of fun. And so, I got into it from that side of things. And then just was blown away by, I got really into Klingons because I was watching all the Klingon episodes and all of that. And then I didn't mind putting on the makeup. And I really loved some of the stuff that Mark Melnikoff was doing here in Chicago. And I was like, I want to be involved in this. You're doing charity work and stuff like that. That's right up my alley. I would love to be able to do that. So when I was doing the project, it kind of made sense at the time to sort of like become be part of the community, because I'm like, look, these are my people. I'm making this CD of pop songs, and these are the kinds, these are the people who would love this and love what I'm doing. So yeah, it was just, it all was just kind of this really crazy, funny confluence of events for me, where just one thing sort of dominoed into the next thing. And members of the Klingon Language Institute worked on the very first song that I ever did, which was Hitchhop, Kiss Me. Ding, ding. Ding, moch. Wak vet ti tuk et pach fam vit tuk chiech Chicho Et tos chish bing da chicho Chidel Rav da chob chob bing da Chich bad chit ye pep Dach punk ye chu et mi jad Wiu bo riu bot ta chmo mas chish Dach chicho The Sixpence None the Richer song. So that song was the catalyst for the Klingon Pop Warrior project. We did that music video, and it went very modestly viral within about 48 hours. We had like 100,000 views, and it was making its rounds among Star Trek communities and stuff like that. And so, it was all kind of this natural progression for me, where I was working with the KLI was just absolutely needed to happen. I'm like, I'm not going to do these songs and do them for, like, I want the Klingon language community to like what I'm doing, and I want the Klingon fan community to like what I'm doing. And if those two communities like what I'm doing, everybody else is just going to get on board, because I'm going to really like freak them out and blow their minds a little bit with the fact that this is actually going to sound good. So that was sort of how I got involved. And I was, so it was really, for me, it was about doing the charity work, with Mark. And, now I am Commander Jenbaum, and I'm our ship communications officer here on the, I believe we are technically we're House Tok'kul. And which is Firebird, Rise, it's a phoenix. And over here doing our thing and having a good time. I one of the things that I really appreciate too about Mark is, and what we do here, is that we have more than one Klingon fan group here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And we are all members of all of them. There's really no animosity here. And Mark, and that's really to Mark's credit, of uniting local Klingon fandom and just saying, hey, we're all in it for the same reasons, and we're all here to do the same thing and have fun. And so I really like that we have our little pocket here that's just, that all plays nice and has a good time. The one thing we actually don't have in Chicago, which really surprises me, is we don't have a robust sort of Federation fan group, but we have a crazy good Klingon fan group here. Mm.
Yeah. Well, and that's great that you can bridge other clubs and get them involved in activities, because actually that's what we're about. We're trying to reach out to our communities and do our part to add to it and not subtract from it. So right. That's great that happens in Chicago. Now,
yeah, it's, It's a shame because this year we can't do our annual toy drive and stuff like that. So this year's been pretty hard. We've all been kind of just laying low and just kind of popping in when we can. But
yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. Our ship too, the Bachtik. We are we're in a holding pattern. There's not a whole lot we can do. We're in a hot spot for the COVID. So So we're just laying low. But so I wanted to ask you, do you speak Klingon fluently then?
Robert, Klingon Chovajat Ach Tarwitje. Tarwitje. No, not fluently. I speak Klingon, but I am a beginner. So But I did pass my level one Klingon language exam. So a lot of folks in the community are like, I would tell me I'm closer to an intermediate than a beginner, but I'm better on paper than I am in person.
Okay. Yeah. Now, as a musician, I wanted to ask you, I listened to your music. I listened to several of the selections, and you do the translations now yourself, right?
I started this, the EP that I'm working on right now, three of the five songs that are going to be on my new EP, I actually did translate myself.
Okay. So one of the things that intrigues me when I listen to your music is, how do you take English words and match them and match Klingon to the rhythm of the original song?
Yeah, okay. Well, so this is actually kind of a great holdover from doing covers and singing in a covers band for singing covers bands for a really long time. But probably the best holdover would be from the very first band that I ever sang with in Minnesota. I lived in Minnesota for 8 years, and that band was really good at taking ownership of music and making a song their own. So even though we were doing a cover, we were always really good at putting our own twist on those covers. Mm-hmm. And so that band for me was really kind of a masterclass of song ownership. When you walk on a stage or when you're rehearsing and when you're thinking about music. So I've always said to the translators that I have worked with, I'm like, don't worry about syllable matching when you're translating the songs. I don't care about matching syllables. All I want them to focus on is the translation. Translate it, make sure that, you know, the translation needs to make sense. Pardon me. And that's all that matters. So for me then, it's really just about finding the groove of the song, figuring out how we want to perform it, stripping it down, because a lot of what I do, we strip the song down to make it a little more basic. Mm-hmm. And then once we strip down the instrumentation, finding my voice within the song. So for me, I actually typically find it easier if there are fewer syllables in a line than than more syllables in a line. But for like a song like Born to Be Wild, Born to Be Wild translated into Klingon is Mtlaichach Mech Mabor.
Okay.
So it's a few, it's got a few extra syllables in it. And so it really is just listening to the music and finding the ways to cram that in there. Mtlaichach Mech Mabor, Born to Be Wild. Really, okay. You know, just for me, that's really what it's about, is just, if that made any sense whatsoever. It's hard to describe.
Actually, it made sense to me in that it almost sounds like what you're describing is what the jazz musicians do when they jam.
Yeah.
Well, from a technical, a musical technical point of view, it sounds like you are thinking more about the phrases rather than the rhythm.
Correct.
Okay.
It's really, really important to me that when I'm singing the songs, I'm not breaking up words in weird places. I am not that the meaning is correct in Klingon.
Mm-hmm.
So that for me is the most important thing. And then when I've been translating, it's been really fun because I definitely, some of the translations that I've sung in the past that have been done by members of the KLI have been really literal translations.
Ah.
When I've been translating my songs, I think from the perspective of a Klingon. So when I'm doing a song like Born to be Wild, I think about, okay, so that second verse is thunderbolts and lightning, heavy metal thunder, racing with the wind and the feeling that I'm under.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those concepts aren't really things that Klingons would care about. Klingons fly in space, so they're not racing with any wind. They're in the middle of space. And for them, sure, there's storms on Konosh. I'm sure there's storms on Konosh, but they're not... They're off conquering the galaxy. So thunderbolts, lightning, heavy metal thunder, things like that, they don't have the same meaning to a Klingon as they would to a Terran. So for me, when I translated that song, I actually used a bunch of space phenomena instead.
Oh.
So I'm actually saying I like black holes and nebulas and, you know, and things like that. And the verses actually break down to the verse breaks down to saying, instead of racing with the wind, I say that gravity and I duel to the death.
Oh.
Okay. And then freedom is my religion. So that was my equivalent to racing with the wind and the feeling that I'm under is gravity and I duel to the death. Freedom is my religion. So I try really hard to think about what it would mean to a Klingon. Like, what do these phrases mean to a Klingon? And how, what would be as impactful to a Klingon and would make them want to get up out of their seat and be like, ah, yes.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is you are using a lot of creative juice putting these together. It takes a lot of thought to say, okay, here I am born to be wild, and now I've got to, there's no phrase that is going to match that literally and sound right. How can I evolve this so that it makes sense? And you are working on Born to be Wild.
Yes.
Is that correct? How
yes. That
long?
That was actually 100% done. It is in the can. It was sent and received back from my sound engineer. So it's mixed and ready to go.
Oh, neat.
Hope duckling, my maiden neck, edge new host you wide shoe. Yin lich die Kupa Makai, Uda Charlachu. Kuk tach mich bring mit Bachjai, edge lord at the pool. Lieb du spät loch mein Jack, bitte Kuh. I should clam jig jack, land on which och clabby. Yin lich die Kupa Makai, Uda Charlachu. Kuk tach mich peng mit Bach Jai, Ed Lord Akipu. Kling on Shu win amach, Mabo Mait lach, Achlich Mabo, Mashu lach, Chu. Not Mabor,
gelacht. Noch auf Dachgelenk, mein Mädchen ist, et du hast schon weide Schuh. Jen lädt dein Kuh bei Makai, oder Tschau lacht schu. Guck, tach mich bin mit, bach Tschai, et noch Dachgepuh. Klingon Schuh, win am Mann. Ma boch mei lach, ach mech ma mo. Ma schu lach, schu, not ma hell. Mit lach, ach mech ma mo. Mit lach, ach mech ma mo.
How long does it actually take to do one of these?
To translate it and then record it and all of that, like a song from start to finish, or just the translation process?
More just working on the translation.
So the nice thing about pop music, and it's part of the reason why I do pop and rock music, is that conceptually, to me, pop and rock music is pretty simplistic. It's about love. It's, you know, maybe about fighting. So there's pop music at its core is pretty simplistic. It's not using any, like, usually any crazy grammatical insanity. It's designed to be simple and convey simple things in a beautiful way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or at least entertaining way, if not beautiful. So one of the great things about it is it's a little formulaic. So you usually have a verse, a chorus, a verse, a chorus, maybe a bridge and another chorus. So once you translate the chorus, you're basically done with half the song.
Right.
And then it's just a matter of fleshing out the verses. And the verses usually aren't that long. So if I really sit down and buckle down, I can knock out a song in a day or two without any problems. The problem is finding time to sit down and do it. It's been great. I actually translated pretty much all of No Scrubs while I was sitting at a table at a convention and tabling. I brought my lyric sheet, I brought a notepad, and then I sat down and I got the Bokwit on my phone, which is the Klingon language dictionary app for phones, and I just sat down and I started working on it. And if people came up to my table, I stopped and I talked to them, and otherwise I just sat there and translated a song all day.
You work when you can on the things you love.
Yeah, COVID's been really interesting because I was planning on heading into the recording studio at the beginning of the year, and that didn't happen and couldn't happen. And so this particular EP has really been an incredible collaborative effort. I had a friend, one of my musician friends from Minnesota, actually has a little recording studio in his basement. So he sent me arrangements for two songs on the EP. The Faithful Sidekicks, a wonderful folk duo, they actually helped with two other songs on the EP. And gave me backing for that. And in return, I actually sang on a couple songs on their upcoming release that they just had a Kickstarter for and sent them some vocals. So I got to sing in English. It was very exciting. I don't get to sing in English very often anymore.
Yeah.
So this EP has been so collaborative, and it really has been about also... For this one, it's been about finding the time and kind of finding the energy. We're in such weird times right now, I'm working in the same spot that I have fun. So I'm a gamer. I'm a PC gamer. So like my computer is my workstation and my gaming time and my recording studio. So sometimes I just don't want to stare at a screen at the end of the workday. And so really kind of finding the energy and the desire to sit down and get it done has been really challenging. I also decided this one of the songs wasn't going to I wasn't going to get an arrangement from musicians on, and I am instrumentally challenged. So I can sing real pretty, but that's about it. But I bought myself a MIDI controller and a little MIDI keyboard, and I actually did one of the arrangements for one of my songs myself. So I'm figuring it out in these weird times, trying to make it work.
Oh yeah. Well, we learn by doing, and you're not instrumentally challenged. Your voice is your instrument.
Well, thank you.
He is a teacher.
Yes.
That's true.
So now Let It Go. That's probably my favorite one that you've done.
Ram goed veldjes boor het sluizen gaan door tachras wou geen verpauw. Pintloetjen mocht goed tachras tam en strooi warm koud pintje lauw. De tach zoos vuur het roer bet tach boor uw het bee. Dit am mocht lach be genedaats nu je. Bod siwm tioch net tŵch Tŵ cwn da os nish Ie cwb moch et ie cwch Chos lyd, ie lyd, chos lyd Ie sio At dach lw siwm Ie bwys cro, ie bwys cro Siwm lw et no da sio ca lach Ie bwys cro Ie bwys cro, siwc edniach lwt nid rintach Jesach me, mwysen be dios chad Jabtach jad siwys byr Dwrtach chad siaw jich, patlwch deg dy padj
Can you talk a little bit about the process of getting permission from the mouse to do this and record it and put it out in public?
So that's actually, that song is really funny. From kind of start to finish, that song has a little bit of a funny story. So I had three songs for my first EP when I was starting to think about, oh, I could totally make this happen. I could record like a little 4-song EP, but I only had three songs. So I was like, well, eventually something will come to me or somebody will say, hey, I have this song. And I'll be like, that's perfect. That's the song. And a friend of mine on that I worked with in the Twin Cities actually had posted on, I think it was on Facebook. He said, why is there no Let It Go in Klingon? Jen Ucelis, you need to make this happen. And this was probably like 2014 at the height of the Let It Go craziness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, all right, I put out a call. I was like, hey, does anybody have a translation of Let It Go? And somebody did. His name is Felix Malmenbeck. He actually lives in Sweden. Mm-hmm. He's one of the main translators who worked on the Duolingo Klingon module.
Okay.
He's amazing. And he's like, I do. Let me take a look at it real quick and I'll send it over to you. So that was my fourth song for the EP. And eventually I got a couple other ones that I heard about through the grapevine that people had. So I went online. I found a website that did song licensing. And I just paid for my song licenses. The EP release, and I did it as covers. So the EP released and I got a message from Disney. And what was so crazy about when the email came in was I had broken my ankle and I had just had surgery like 3 days before I got this email. So I'm laying on my couch in a fog of like in a, you know, like opiate induced fog, like from the painkillers.
Yeah.
And I get this email that's got this name and it's like at Disney.com and it's, you know, it's titled something like your version of Let It Go. And my whole, like my stomach just fell out of my body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh no, they're going to pull it. They're going to like, oh God. Oh no. So I'm like, I'm sitting there staring at my phone and I'm like, all right, just hit the button, just hit it and read it and find, you know, find out what you're going to have to do. So I look at the email and it was actually congratulating me on having the official 47th translation of Let It Go. And would I send them copies for the my CD so that they can put it in the Disney archives and a copy of the lyrics they wanted it for archival purposes. And oh, by the way, did you get song rights? So I actually was able to say, yes, here's the documentation. Here are my song rights. And that was it. And they were like, if you want song rights again in the future, you here's who you email. Just email us and we'll take care of it for you. And yeah, it was pretty awesome. So yeah, I unfortunately, because I'm so small, like I really haven't sold that many CDs. I really haven't, in the grand scheme of Disney, I'm small potatoes.
Uh-huh.
And so the last time I emailed to re-up my song rights, I didn't hear anything back from them. And part of me wonders if they just don't care. but I emailed the person that I was told to email. And, you know, I put all my ducks in a row and did, you know, did my due diligence before I printed more CDs. And, but yeah, I just think that I'm so small that I'm barely a blip on their radar. I will say I probably won't do any other Disney songs though.
I don't know. Bear.
It's kind of a fluke. Looking for a CD on the Disney catalog in the original Klingon.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want that headache. That's really what it comes down to.
I don't know. Bare Necessities might be a good one, you know.
There's also, it's really funny because a lot of those songs, they're hard to sing. I'm a competent vocalist, but I am not a Disney princess vocalist.
Oh, okay.
And there is definitely a vocal tonology difference.
Right.
and so I definitely have a little bit of a rasp and a little bit of a, I'm a little more gritty. And so singing some of those songs is really hard and translating them. I mean, we had to drop the key of Let It Go. I mean, in order to be able to sing it, because Idina Menzel is like a freak of frickin' nature.
Yeah.
We had to drop that song. Like, I feel like it was just like at least two whole steps so that I could sing the end of it. Just so that I could sing the end of the song. We had to drop the entire thing.
Right.
Yeah. And eventually, like, you drop a song, the key of a song so many times, is it even that song anymore? Like,
oh, yeah. So. Transpositions, I mean, everybody transposes into their key.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to, otherwise it doesn't fit your range.
Right. But, yeah, eventually you drop a key down in a song so many times, it's like, yeah, you know what, maybe I should just find something else. It's one thing to, like, drop it, like, drop it a half step, maybe drop it a whole step, but eventually, like, I'm like, yeah, this is a little ridiculous. So
yeah.
I definitely do. I'm doing Lizzo's Good as Hell on this next one, and I had to drop the key on that. And The Warrior, the Patti Smith scandal tune, definitely had to drop the key on that as well.
Mm-hmm. So great. Hey, John, did you have anything?
Well, we're trying to look into the benefits of being in CAG with this podcast series.
Sure.
How would somebody who's interested in this get started? Is it better to learn the Klingon language or get a translation and learn how to sing it to learn how to pronounce the words from the Klingon language.
John, are you thinking about competing with Jen?
Hell no.
You know,
she's too damn good.
Thanks. I don't know. For me, I learned the pronunciation and like I took just such a weird path to get here. I do think, you know, if you want to do it, because like there are certain things, like I'll get requests for songs and stuff like that. And I'm like, that's, you know, I sing pop and rock songs. I'm not going to go and do a bunch of modern country tunes. I'm not going to go. That's not sort of the genre that I'm diving in.
Mozart.
If you want. Yeah. Like there's a woman who does opera. What broke my heart was that her translations were really bad. Because she has them online, and I looked at them and I'm like, wait a minute, these are suffixes, these aren't words, these are prefixes, not words. So if you're going to do it right, especially on the translation side of things. Either go to the KLI and ask for help, but also don't expect that help to be free. Be willing to pay. I pay my translator, like I've paid my translators, you know, or make an earnest effort and learn the language. And so that you can translate your own songs in an earnest way, and then ask for help. I mean, every single translation that I have on this CD has gone through members of the KLI who are much smarter than I am with the language. So I did my base, I did my translation, and then I was like, please review this for errors. And
And I can understand how a classical musician would think about, I must preserve the melody, I must preserve the rhythm, I must preserve the everything. And so that if that would affect the translation couldn't be accurate, because you're not going to find words in Klingon that are going to fit the words in German, Italian, English,
right,
precisely. It's not going to happen.
One of the translation efforts that has probably blown my mind the most, there's a woman, Agnieszka, in the KLI. She goes by Ishku. That's her Klingon name.
Okay.
Agnieszka has translated Sun Tzu's Art of War into Klingon. And she also translated the Tao Te Ching. And what's so incredibly remarkable about her work is, Agnieszka lives in, she's in Poland. She's actually fluent in Chinese. So she actually took the, and she's fluent in Klingon. She's fluent Klingon Hole speaker, and she's a fluent Chinese speaker. So she took the original Chinese of both of those works, translated them into Klingon, and then did the back translation of the Klingon into English. So what we ended up with for those two translations from a linguistic standpoint are two brand new translations of those works from the original Chinese. The people in the Klingon Language Institute are mind-blowingly smart, but they are also some of the nicest, most welcoming people you will ever meet. And so if you're interested in making a good faith effort and going in and diving in with both feet and learning the language, they will be with you and hold you up every step of the way. There is no doubt in my mind that I can go to Alan or Robin or Ishku or, you know, any of the members of the KLI and say, I need help. I need your help. And they would be there, and they'd be like, no, this is all wrong, Jen. You completely fucked this up. This is how you need to say this. So I'm like, okay, Faye, you know, and they would tell it to me straight, and they would help me out. Or they'd be like, well, you can say it that way, but,
they're throw something in here. The Robin that she threw out is also the translator for all the Klingon sayings, Klingon speech, that you find in Discovery. She even recorded how to pronounce the words so the actors could hear how they're supposed to sound.
Yeah. Yeah. Robin is amazing. Robin Stewart, also known as Kov. She's, yeah, it was it was really cool when we all found out that she was on, she was doing the translation efforts for Star Trek Discovery. One of my, a funny, for I think it's a funny story. We were sitting around, it was before the first season came out, and we had gone, we were all at Kepa, and I don't think Robin came that year. And I think part of the reason that Robin didn't come that year was because she was under an NDA, and she knew that if she was surrounded by her people, she would not be able to, she would break her NDA.
Yeah.
and so, but there were, we got our word list every year at the Kepa. We get, which is the big annual meeting of the Klingon Language Institute. We get a list of new words. And so we're going through this list of new words, and it's usually like in a little booklet, and it's arranged by category and stuff like that. And so we're going through this list, and I remember distinctly like seeing the word for sarcophagus in there. And I was like, sarcophagus? Who the hell asked for sarcophagus? Like, I was just like, what in the world is this? And it turned out, we find out in Star Trek Discovery, like, they needed a word for sarcophagus in Star Trek Discovery, and which was just mind-blowing. And so, yeah, we got, like, that. We had, like, these funny little hints about what was coming. We also had gotten the word for tardigrade and some of these other weird, like, other weird things.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out that the reason we got all of those words was because Robin needed them for Star Trek Discovery. So we actually got a little bit of a spoiler about what was coming in Star Trek Discovery, but none of us knew it. So that was kind of cool. And Alan Anderson, who's a member of the Klingon Assault Group as well, out of Indiana, he mm-hmm. actually was her second in command. So, because Robin is a survey pilot uh-huh. by day. And so when they started filming, originally they were going to be filming in the winter. And so that's like her slow time, because there's not very much daylight, so she's not really flying very much. And then the shooting schedule for Discovery kept getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back until it was going into the spring and early summer. And so she's like, look, if I'm up in the air, I can't answer a phone call if CBS is calling me wondering what, you know, wondering about this or needing a new phrase for that or needing, you know, needing some clarification on X, Y, and Z. So when she was flying, Alan Anderson was actually her her second in command. So he was available to answer questions for them. Kind of cool.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool as a member of the community to have one of our own essentially be working for CBS and for them to take it that seriously even.
Oh, yeah.
And Mary Chifo is absolutely astounding and delightful. And she apparently showed up for her first rehearsal with a dog-eared copy of the Klingon dictionary full of post-it notes and questions and was like ready to go and was super into it. Whereas like Kenneth Mitchell, he was a little bit more like he had his lines up on like giant post-its all over his house and would just like walk through the house like saying his lines. He wasn't necessarily as interested in learning the grammar as he was just learning his lines. Both are completely valid from an acting standpoint, and they both did amazing work. So yeah, but it was just really cool to see Mary. Mary's really embraced the Klingon community, and it's really cool.
Now, well, the Klingon Language Institute is tapped all the time by not only the television shows, but authors, everybody. They go to KLI to make sure that they are accurate, because you know how Star Trek fans are.
Yeah, totally. Well, and I think nowadays too, there's no excuse to not. You know, the internet being what it is, if you can't find somebody to help you with the Klingon language in something, you're just frankly not looking.
Yeah, you're
like,
not
there's
trying.
You're not trying. There's legitimately no excuse.
No, absolutely not. I mean, you know the Discord server. You go on the Discord server and type in how do I say yada yada yada, and within seconds somebody's gonna come back and tell you how to do it.
Exactly.
So
yep.
The Klingon language channel on the Discord server.
Yep, the KLI has their own Discord server. Mm-hmm. Along, you know, so does the Klingon Assault Group. I love that I love how active they are right now. I mean, people, because we can't get together, I love that everybody has been making time. I loved that the Klingon Assault Group did CAGCON. I thought that was so clever and so fun. You know, we're doing what we can in these sort of unprecedented and weird times. And it's so fun to see people adapt to what we have going on right now.
Mm-hmm. No, we owe a lot to Christine for that.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Love that Chishwit.
Yes.
I'm actually doing the last Tuesday. I don't know why I almost said last Friday. The last Tuesday of every month. We just did it for the first time. I'm doing a last Tuesday of each month, a Discord event with members of the Klingon Assault Group. So we're playing Jackbox party games, and I actually have a Twitch stream. And so I'm actually streaming it on Twitch. So members of the Klingon Assault Group I can have up to like 7 people playing with me on the Discord server. And then anybody who is watching the stream, there's ways to join in and participate from the audience too. So it was super fun. We just did it for the first time this past Tuesday and we had a great time. And I'm really looking forward to next month's.
Yeah, it can be addictive, you know. All right. So, John, did you have anything else?
No, I think she did a really good job of covering stuff. And
yeah. Well, why don't you go ahead and tell our audience where to find you on the webs and how, you know, if they want to get in touch or if they have questions
for you. Buy your album.
Yeah, no. So you can find me at www.KlingonPopWarrior.com. That's probably one of the best places to go for information. I am also on, I do have a Facebook page, facebook.com/KlingonPopWarrior. I'm not on Facebook a ton anymore. If you want to find me on Twitter, I'm also on twitter.com/KlingonPop. And you can always send me an email as well, KlingonPopWarrior@gmail.com. And there's also a form on my website. So if you want to get in touch, that form sends me an email and we'll, you know, I will respond.
Yeah.
Maybe not like immediately, depending on when you send it, but I will respond usually within at least one day. So.
Right. And you have.
What? You don't sit by your computer all day long?
I mean,
waiting?
I do, but, you know.
And
I'm on iTunes, Amazon. I used to be on Google Play, but Google Play doesn't exist anymore. So you can find me on Amazon, iTunes, and Bandcamp.
Ah, I notice you have 2 Klingon albums, very reasonably priced, either the download or the physical CD. And you do other work, though. You have other recordings out there. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I do sing in English when given the opportunity. So I like I said, upcoming, I'm actually singing. I have a song on the upcoming Faithful Sidekicks album that they just finished their Kickstarter on. And I did a really beautiful project. We recorded it back in 2017. I think it was released in 2018 with a local singer-songwriter here in Chicago, Kevin Newhall. It was Kevin Newhall and the Affinities.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an absolutely stunning, it's really beautiful. It's all original songs. He plays piano. And it was based on, it's really cool. It was really, really cool. It's all songs based on cards from the tarot deck.
Oh.
And and they tell a little bit of a story. So it's actually kind of a concept album. It's really beautiful. And actually the two women who make up there were 3 of us who made up the Affinities. It was me and River Roberts and Andrea Johansson. Oh my God. Last name's gone. River and Andrea actually sang backup vocals on my second Pop Warrior EP, and it was them singing backing vocals on Don't Stop Believin' on my EP that River was playing it for her friend Kevin. Her and Kevin are longtime friends, and he's like, you guys sound really good together. And she goes, yeah, isn't this crazy? And he's like, you know, I need some female vocalists for this new thing that I'm working on. Do you think that they would be interested? And she goes, I can ask. And Andrea and I both jumped at it. So So it's a really beautiful project, and you should be able to find that on also on Amazon and things like that. So it's Kevin Newhall and the Affinities, Don't Let the Moon Fool You. And and there's some other random things of mine you can find out there. I have a bunch of copies of a CD that I sang back in like 2006 for a buddy of mine. And I haven't figured out how to like offload them. I'm probably just going to start sending them to people who buy the Pop Warrior EPs off of me, that if I have to mail those, I'm like, here, take one of these too.
There you go. Oh, that's great. Okay. Yeah. Check out Jen's webpage, KlingonPopWarrior.com. You can find everything there. And you can even buy Jen a cup of coffee on the website.
Yeah.
And there's no better way to make a friend than buying them a cup of coffee.
Yep. And all of that goes straight to the production costs of my newest EP. So it's I am three of the five songs are done and like completely done, bought, paid for. The sound engineer is paid. And the songs are mixed, and so I'm actually almost done with the fourth one, and then I just have one more to finish recording. So,
all right, well, Jen Baum, thank you for joining us on this episode of Benefits of CAG. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Well, hopefully we can get you back one day on something else. Yeah, and so we'll take this out with a rousing Klingon wish. Kapla.
Kapla. Kapla. Jay.
Really, though, when you're looking at your benefits, they will be determined by what you contribute, what you do, and how much you're willing to learn. In other words, what you get from CAG will depend on what you're willing to put into CAG. We hope this series of podcasts has whetted your appetite for doing things and left you wanting more. Ideally, if you don't find what you're looking for in CAG, help us create it for you. And remember, above all else, have fun. Kapla.